Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast.
Season's greetings. My name is Keith Schertz, and I'm here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And even though there's only one game between the two schools, it's the Utes' year. Yeah. Once again.
Yep. No, it was a really, really fun game. As I was telling you, I was impressed with the fans and the Marriott Center. Awesome, awesome environment. Just sucks that we just keep losing to those guys. And we had our chances. The game was there to grab, but we didn't make enough offensive plays.
Didn't make enough offensive plays. And beyond that, they were behind. BYU was behind. The game was dictated by the Utes. And that was unfortunate.
Utah's good.
Utah is good.
They are deep. They've got some talented guys.
Yeah. Well, and I thought I kind of laughed because there was some fan backlash. You know, Utah went and lost to Kansas the next game.
Yeah.
And there were people who were like, well, they're not for real, are they? It's like, oh, please. Like, you know, they're playing in Kansas City against Kansas. Like, Kansas is really good, and they had just come off a really tough road win. And far be it for a BYU fan to make a proclamation about how good Utah is when you just lost.
Yeah. No, Utah's good. The thing that BYU fans should be telling themselves, and that I think is a realistic chance, is that what really matters is if we make it further in the NCAA tournament. And we could still do that.
There's a chance for that.
That's the silver lining that might happen. I think that some stories from that Utah game, the biggest one to me is that offensively we just went huge stretches where we couldn't score. And if I'm going to pinpoint that on a player, it's got to be Chase Fisher.
He didn't have a nice night.
No, and our listeners know I'm really high on Chase Fisher. I think he's changed the outlook and the odds of this team doing great things this year. But I'm beginning to be very worried that guy disappears against good teams, but specifically in high pressure moments. That guy has not came through yet this year.
His stats get considerably better when he doesn't play good teams. And then, as you've pointed out, well, but Long Beach looks like a pretty good team this year, and he had a pretty good game there. And so when there's a game with meaning, a little more pressure on it, maybe that's a that's a situation. So the question then comes up, why is it that Chase Fisher seems to go away when the game has more meaning, or when there's, you know, he's in Maui and he gets a chance to play against San Diego State and he does okay. And then he plays Chaminade and he's unbelievable. And then he plays Purdue and he's okay. Right? Yeah. And
11 points against San Diego. So that's not, it's below his average, but I didn't blame him that game. 30 against Chaminade and then 7 against Purdue.
Right.
And so the Purdue one, it's like, man, he had an off night. But shooters are going to have an off night. But then Utah State, not that great of a team, but a high-pressure situation, 3 points.
Yeah, he's having a yo-yo season. Like, it's just up and down, and he just doesn't have a way of kind of putting it together. He played relatively well against Weber State. That makes me nervous about what's going to happen against Stanford. You know, last week sucked. I know they went 1-1, but wasn't that a crappy week of basketball?
We needed that win.
Yeah, they needed to get the Utes, didn't they?
That, you know, similar to last year, we're still looking at our non-conference schedule and saying what could have been. You know, we could have a really impressive resume right now. And if we're realists as BYU fans, we don't have We have an okay resume right now. It's nothing. There's nothing that's just we can hang our hat on yet.
Best win is a home win against Long Beach.
Yep.
Like in terms of RPI.
And second is on the road at USU.
At Utah State. Yeah.
They're okay. They're not going to impress the committee.
Yeah, and they need one of the big wins. They need this to kind of come through for them. And this is their opportunity, right? I mean, this is it. But before we get in to the matchup with Stanford and then UMass and then Gonzaga, we should talk about Tyler Hawes.
Yeah, that's the big story where this week felt like a downer, is that, man, as a BYU fan lately, first with football we lose Taysom Hill, and then this week we see Tyler Hawes just in severe pain roll around on the floor. They're kind of still being a little coy on how severe the injury is, but from everything I'm hearing, that people are guessing 2 weeks, that he's going to be out against Stanford, probably out against UMass, and that they're hoping to get him back December 27th against the Zags.
And I think that's the earliest you could possibly expect for him to come back. I mean, I just... He's super tough, right? We think he's a tough player.
Yeah.
The way he was moving on the ground after, you know, he tweaked his ankle and stuff.
Couldn't put any weight on it and stuff.
It's like, there's people that are like, yeah, well, I think he might be playing against Stanford. Like, no, right? Like, I'm fairly certain
he's not playing. The no weight on it is the big one, because I've had what I consider a pretty severe ankle sprain before.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is that I was trying to tough it out and tried to keep playing on it, but it didn't look like that was even an option for him, that he could not put any weight on it. And my ankle, not that mine was like what to base everything off of, but it didn't feel right again for like 6 months.
Right.
I could play sports again after a few weeks, but it didn't. It was still paining. So I'm just.
So it's going to bother him the rest of the year.
I think the whole rest of the year he's got a hurt ankle. The only somewhat good thing,
stinks.
His game is not built upon explosion.
What are you talking about? He runs off the ball like a maniac.
I think he'll be able to do that. He'll be somewhat of a step slower, but I think he can still hit jump shots, still hit free throws. I think he can still run around.
I do too, but I just think
that... I think it affects guys that are more sky guys. Their game is built upon them being more athletic.
Yeah.
His game is not built upon him being more athletic.
I don't know. It's
I would say
about
crafty.
Running to get open.
I think he can still be crafty with a bum ankle.
Okay. Well, it sucked. I got to say,
doubt.
I wanted to puke when he when that happened.
Yeah.
And I thought he was done. I just, you know, the no weight and stuff, and I just thought he maybe broke his ankle, and I thought maybe, gosh, this could be it.
Mm-hmm.
So
the only thing is that the play, from his reaction, I had the same thoughts, but then watching the replay, I'm like, I don't see anything severe that happened there. Time will tell. Hopefully we get him back at a Hawes level ASAP.
Sure, and I even think it's worth sitting him out through Gonzaga and even Portland, right? Maybe start him on that New Year's Day game.
We know, yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather... Here's the thing. Like, I think you can get by Portland at home. Tough game, but I think you can get by them, right? I don't know what's going to happen against Stanford. I get nervous. The UMass game, they're not as good as they were last year. Gonzaga, obviously fantastic, right? But I think if you can wait... And save him and then let him try to come back even better and just unleash him and then hopefully make a really strong run the rest of the way in conference. You know, I don't know. What do you agree or disagree? Or do you just get him back as quick as possible?
I just don't know enough. I don't know where he's feeling, because BYU's not telling anybody anything. They're really holding the cards.
All right, so without Hawes on the floor then, who do you expect to start in his place? Anson?
Yeah, it's going to be Anson that starts at his place. The question to me is who gets those minutes. And I think it comes down between Toulson and Halford. I want to see Toulson get more minutes. Who I think it's going to be is Halford.
Are you talking about just the minutes on the floor, and then maybe you move Kyle to the three, or Anson?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm asking?
No, totally. I think that BYU's system, it's not super rigid, I don't think, on who has to be defined as the two or the three. Like, I could see them having a lineup where they've got Kyle, they've got Fisher and Anson all on the floor at the same time. Or Toulson or Halford in there.
Yeah.
I don't know who you'd say plays the three per se, but I think they just go with a three guard lineup and have.
Well, Toulson is probably going to be more apt
to be able to guard the three. Like, it's easy. I'm talking offense, and you're probably talking more defensive. Yeah. Who do we have guard the other guy's three?
See, a lot of people have been kind of really low on Tyler Haws defensively. And, like, I understand that. Like, you build up a reputation after year after year. But, like, he is not a guy you have to hide on the floor anymore. And he's actually stepped up his defensive level this year.
Yeah.
It's been a nice surprise. And he's kept his scoring workload. I've been really amazed.
When we had good defensive stretches, and, again, this happened against Utah, the end of the second half, he was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
For some really big defensive stretches. And my takeaway about him defensively, I think he's an above average zone defense defender.
Yeah.
That he's somewhat long. He's out active, on the wing. He plays hard.
They communicate well. Yeah.
But his reputation's more built upon that he's not that great of a man to man defender. But this year we've been playing so much zone that I think he's been helping on the defensive end.
While he may not be, he's not shutting anybody down man-to-man. Like, I don't think he's, like, this horrible liability where you see people, like, purposefully trying to attack Tyler Haws because he's just so bad. Does that make sense?
Agreed.
Like, I think he's fine. All right, but without him, so we see, Collinsworth, Fisher, Anson Winder playing the three. Anson can score, man.
Yeah, he's had a great year.
And there's been times, like, Haws got in foul trouble last year in conference. Anson came in and scored, like, 20 points in that game. Like,
yeah.
He
thinks of himself as a guy that could come in and carry
just play
that
anywhere.
Load.
Yeah, he can just do it. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to me to see how that kind of develops. I really would hope that Jake Toulson would get the chance to develop here. As a freshman, we have a lot of time to get him really settled and things going well with Jake Toulson. Jake is got a good body. You know, he fits that three spot better than maybe anybody else that they have to come in after Haws.
And
right?
And even though he's young, he's already an offensive asset.
He can shoot.
Like, the teams have to guard him. They have to know where he's at.
Well, or I'm happy to let Stanford find out that, oh, wait, we have to guard this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy to. I just see that. Or maybe the other one is Dalton Nixon as a potential.
Well, Rose has been higher on Nixon, it would appear. Part of that could be because he's a big and we're not as deep in the bigs. But Nixon's got playing time in every game.
Yeah.
Where Toulson hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about briefly is one of the things that they got into trouble with against the Utes is the Utes did a good job of trying to shut down that perimeter game. And BYU's response against the number 13 team in the country, in a tight one, was to begin to try to feed the post. And in particular, there was about 4 or 5 minutes in that second half where they went to Corbin Kafusi repeatedly. I was not a fan of that tactic.
He's not ready for that yet.
He wasn't ready for it against Weber State.
Yeah.
They went to him several times against Weber State. A lot of turnovers.
I like Corbin. I think that we need to use him.
So raw, though. Like, he just isn't ready for that.
That guy just needs to be getting boards and putbacks. You know, throw him some alley-oops, you know. But I don't think that yet he's a guy that we can drop a play to feed him in the post and let him go to work. It's not him. Yet.
That's why big leads sort of matter this year. If you want to develop a post game for next year, because, you know, we don't know what Jamal Eitz is yet, and we don't know Eitz. We don't know what he's up to yet, but he'll be available next year, or we don't know. Do you ever see, like, Luke Worthington developing it?
Not anymore. I think he is a good third or fourth big man is where I'm at with
him. Far be it for me to criticize Coach Pope, right? But here, I'm about to do it. He's gotten to work with Nate Austin this entire time, and Noah Hartsock is there working with them.
Yeah.
He's gotten a chance to work with Austin. He's worked with Sharp for several years now. And there isn't any distinguishable higher level of offensive capability than when they started.
Like, it's very true.
I mean, Austin hasn't really developed in any real way offensively. In some ways, like when he came in and started at a Lone Peak and stuff, like he was shooting and seemed relatively comfortable with the idea of shooting, and that went away. Like, there's a chance that maybe he's even
digressed
a little bit during his time. I just think that we've yet to see anybody improve offensively. Makes me nervous about the future for Luke Worthington and especially Corbin Kaufusi.
Yeah.
Are we sure we have a guy that can bring somebody along in the post, make them become an offensive guy?
We haven't seen it yet. Mika played good, but he came in at that level.
Right.
And then...
And he didn't get better. Like, as the year went on...
Was Pope here with Hartsock?
Hartsock.
Hartsock was a player that got dramatically better every year in the post.
He did.
So.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I need to check that. My guess is that yes.
So that's
so his, he does have one guy. He's got his like one student. Yeah. Yeah. Because Hartsock did get better. But part of that too, if you want to continue the narrative and make the argument, Tosh, you could argue Hartsock was always good and had the ability to score. It wasn't his role to score until he was a senior.
That's true.
I mean, they didn't look at him as somebody that needed to score. Okay. Coming in to the Marriott Center Saturday night, game I'm looking forward to, the Stanford Cardinal. They were in the Sweet 16 last year. Johnny Dawkins is their head coach. And last year, BYU-Stanford was probably the most entertaining game of the year.
In Carlino's probably best game as a Cougar.
Yeah, maybe. When he was his first year when they played at San Francisco and he went crazy in the first
half. I guess I'm also putting in against competition, too.
Yeah. It was the Carlino and Haas. They just went crazy. I think Haas had 31 in that one. Anyway, Stanford very good, and they bring back their not everyone. Dwight Powell graduated, and so did Josh Huestis. So I don't think they're as good as last year, but Chasen Randall is their star, and he has absolutely raised his game. He's gotten better. He scored 31 points just last night against Loyola Marymount, and has become a very, very good player. He's a dangerous shooting guard. He also plays a little point guard, and he absolutely is just he's stunning at shooting, and he was great against BYU last year. So Randall is a guy that they're going to have to deal with. So my question is, what adjustment do you make if you're Coach Rose to try to handle that dynamic scoring threat in Chasen Randall?
Well, what I think really happens is that we try to just outscore him. You know, it's not like BYU has ever, I think, came into games with their mindset being the way we win is by shutting
this.
No, I'm being too extreme. But I think that's how BYU wins, and I think that's really Rose's philosophy is we just need to outscore these guys. That being said, I think they have Anson or Kyle really be probably tag teaming and
even Skyler, like I know that you're not pesky. But like he's a nice defender. He's not bad.
Yeah. So we've got guys but he is Tyler Haas-ish in that it doesn't matter what we do, he's going to find ways to get his points.
Yeah, I think he's maybe 38 straight games in double digits, or 39 I think it is now. So he'll get to 40. He's going to score 10 points at minimum against BYU. And if he only gets 10, yeah, we should feel very blessed with that.
Here's what I would say, though, is that I don't think Stanford's beat anybody good this year.
We'll go through their year.
Wofford,
yep.
Win. South Dakota, win. Yep. UNLV, who's okay.
That's a pretty good win.
Yeah. But UNLV seems down, though.
Neutral site.
They lost to Duke, 70-59.
Yeah, that's defendable.
They beat Delaware.
Okay.
They lost to DePaul.
They're good sometimes. I don't know. Yeah.
They beat Denver squad, and then they beat Loyola Marymount. And so,
and it was close, by the way. They were struggling with Loyola Marymount.
I think that, you know, they're a good team. They're a 60 RPI team right now. BYU needs this win. It is somewhat of a scary game, especially without Haas. But Stanford's not – they haven't proven this year that they're world beaters.
Sure. Neither is BYU.
No. We're really coming in kind of the same way. We both need a statement win.
In a lot of ways, this is a loser-leaves-town match. This will be a game that will – because I feel like both these teams are bubble teams, right? I just feel like that's where they're going to end up. And I just think that this is going to be one of those games that'll help kind of make that decision, you know, where we'll take a look at it and they'll say, at least in seeding, say they both make the bubble, but in seeding, you know, that'll be a thing that'll matter. And so this is an important game.
Yeah.
The other problem that I see with Stanford is Stephen Nastich. Both he and Randall, by the way, graduate students in real degrees out there. You know how, like, different schools always get the same thing? So anytime you play a military academy, the announcer's always going to harp on about how, like,
disciplined.
And they're never going to give up.
Yeah.
Just never going to give up. Like, yeah, I know they're losing by 50 points, but these guys are never going to give up. With Stanford, it's always just like, they're just so smart. They're just so smart. So, like, so get ready for that when the announcers go into how smart Stanford is because Randall cut off a pass, you know, as if, like, Kyle Collinsworth isn't also going to jump the lane on a pass, too. But they won't talk about how smart Collinsworth is. They'll talk about how smart
Old BYU is.
Yeah. When they talk about BYU, they talk about missions and how old they are.
So what's your prediction this week against Stanford?
If we had Tyler Haas, I feel really good. It's hard to win in our building. We won in their building. I'm going to call one of those funky things where each team wins on the road. So I'll take Stanford. I think Stanford's going to get them. I just think we don't have an answer under the basket, and we definitely can't defend. And I just think Randall's going to have a great game. I think we're going to be struggling. You know, I am happier that they've had a week of practice to get ready for this game. This is the longest break they've had since the season began to game plan and try to get a little healthier. And so I just think that those things are important, and I think that'll help. And the way it helps them most is at least it gives them time, and they won't come out and feel like they've really got to push. Like, I think if they just stay within their games and do what they do well, instead of being like, we need to replace Tyler Haas. Like, I guess what I'm afraid of is after Brandon Davies was suspended, they had 2 days. So they found out there was a day of practice. Then they played New Mexico at home.
Yeah.
BYU lost that game. And largely because, not just because, you know, they missed Brandon, which they did. And they were, like, scrambling. But, like, everybody was pushing. I mean, Jimmer pushed and shot shots that, I mean, and he, I mean,
shot
had it all, but, like, he was really forcing it, and so was Emery, and there was this edge to them, this nervousness of, like, well, we've got to be superhuman tonight in order for us to win, and they ended up getting crushed, and the point is, like, I can see that being a problem, but with a week to kind of mentally prepare for that, I hope that they stay in the right kind of mindset and just follow the game and just play their own way and be who they are rather than pushing and trying to play like the most perfect game ever.
Yeah. No, I think what to watch for is that I've heard from a lot of basketball minds in the college and NBA level that a lot of times if your best player gets hurt, that next game that players that you see really surprised players that step up. But they can't, over the long term, you're always worse off losing your best player. But in the short term, you kind of have like the scary game where guys, the other teams don't really know how to game plan as much. You have guys, and I look at
Alford.
Alford's
done it before.
I'm thinking Anson. My prediction is that Anson goes for 20 something. He goes for 20 something points, and that's the surprise, that's the push that we get.
is it going to be like a ho-hum game for Kyle Collinsworth for his standards? You know, yeah, like 14 points and 8 rebounds and 5 assists, something like this?
Because I don't think his game, it's not like he's going to get any more minutes. And I don't think his, yeah. It's not like his game, he's going maximum effort every game and roll. He's already trying to score, I think, as much as he's going to. I think,
I think, though, that there's some premium for him to try to get Tyler going.
Yeah, there's
and
truth
now, and
there.
Now it's like, I don't know if that...
I just don't trust for him hitting shots. You know?
Well, right.
And so that's why I see Anson as the pick.
Well, that's why it's important for him to stay in his role, right? That's like the thing that I'm kind of saying. So I think... I just think, though, that it just for whatever reason, I just kind of... I have the feeling. I just feel like Stanford's going to get him. I don't know.
Give me a score.
A high scoring. But... I mean, high scoring to a point. I think that Stanford will score like 84 points, and BYU will score like 79.
So I think it's going to be also about that same margin, but I got BYU in this one, and I think it's because of the home court. I think that these players are going to feel like different than the Jimmer year where they had so much riding on it. They were nationally ranked. Sure. This time, I think they're going to feel like they're playing with, you know, monopoly money this game, in that, hey, we don't have anything to lose. This is our chance to, no one's expecting us to play really well without Haas.
This is their only chance, though, to have like a marquee non-conference win.
Yeah, UMass is 38th in the RPI, surprisingly, and so that one would help at the end of the year, too.
Yeah.
But this is a big, big game. I go BYU 87, Stanford 81, and that We jump out early and we just continue just to outscore those guys in a shootout to pull it out, and we all go home smiling.
Okay, there it is. Enjoy the game on Saturday night, and if you can't be in the building, check it out on TV. Is it? Do you know what
channel? Yeah, it'll be on TV.
Be on BYU TV.
I think it's actually ESPN, but let me. So we have
ESPNU.
ESPNU.
Yeah. So. And that's an 11:30?
9 o'clock. Yeah, it's a 9 o'clock Utah time start.
9 o'clock. Oh, man. That's you know what that means, Tosh? That means my wife hates me.
Yeah.
That's what that means. All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much for listening to the show. Tell your friends about it. Have a good Christmas holiday, and go Cougars. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Let's hope we play well.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!